Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborist Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff you're doing for the community. That is for sure. This program is sponsored in part by AppletreeMediaWorks.com and the Laborers Local 373 out of Pittsburgh. We appreciate their support. Folks, I just want to remind you, please go to our website, www.theunionedge.com. Download the free app for your iPhone or your Android. That way you can listen to this radio program anywhere in the world at any time, right there on your smartphone. We appreciate that very much. Joining me today, we've got Craig Harrington of Media Matters. Craig, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
Craig, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Well, let's see. Fox and Friends had an expert on voting and a conspiracy theorist talking about voting problems, but yet he had actually been, or he actually pled guilty to violating campaign finance laws. Is this, we're going to get the pickpocket to tell people how to keep their wallets in their pockets so it's easier to get picked?
Kind of. So what happened is this morning on Fox and Friends, they hosted Dinesh D'Souza, who is a conservative conspiracy theorist and documentary filmmaker and a kind of pseudo-intellectual in conservative media circles. And he has a book that he's promoting called The Big Lie, which is a play on a propaganda term made famous, of course, by Adolf Hitler. And the point of The Big Lie is to demonstrate the supposed direct connections between the American left and progressivism in 2017 and the National Socialist movement in Germany in the 1920s and 30s. He's entirely a crank among
Wait a second. Time out. He is trying to equate or compare or liken the 1920s, 1930s National Socialist Party with Democrats in the United States?
And it's not even comparing them. The subtitle of the book is Exposing the Nazi Roots of the American Left. So it's not even saying that, like, Democrats are using Nazi techniques, which is itself absurd. He's arguing directly that Democrats and progressives today are directly evolved from Nazis of the 1920s and 30s in Germany.
That explains why he was asked on to Fox News.
And that explains the kind of intellectual sandbox in which we're playing. And I think it's important to understand the perspective of this person, Dinesh D'Souza. And the really interesting thing about him being brought on to discuss this supposedly controversial decision by College Park, Maryland, to allow non-citizens to vote in municipal elections. The interesting thing about this is that this is a guy who was convicted of campaign finance violations. He had to spend 5 months, I believe, in a halfway house in his home in San Diego. He's still under probation, I believe, and he had to pay a $30,000 fine for using what's called a straw donor, where essentially an individual with a significant amount of money gives a friend or an acquaintance or a confidant a chunk of that cash in exchange for that person then making a donation in kind to the wealthy person's individual preferred candidate. So when you run into campaign donation limitations, you invent a straw donor. So you give money to a friend or an acquaintance and have them make a donation in their own name on your behalf. It's a way around campaign finance limitations that are supposed to keep big money donors from just buying up all the space in American politics. And he committed this crime. He was found guilty of having done it, and he served his time and paid a penalty for it. But even at the time, this was in the 2012 election, Dinesh D'Souza claimed that he was the victim of a political hit job by the Obama administration because, sure, he had violated the law, but what he did was so small and so picayune, and obviously the Obama administration was picking on him because he's a conservative. They would never go out and charge people with campaign violations if they had donated to Democrats. That, of course, wasn't true. The Obama administration was not directly involved in any of these prosecutions, which come from the Justice Department. And the Justice Department, which operated independently, did plenty of prosecutions of individuals on the left and the right of the political spectrum for violating campaign finance rules because that was their job. So he tried to build himself up to be a martyr after having built himself up as being an intellectual fraud. And now he's just trying to sell books and sell documentaries. And he's actually quite good at that, which is another reason why he was on Fox and Friends. But the core of this argument is that here's Fox and Friends complaining that College Park, Maryland, made a decision at the local level to allow residents of the community who aren't citizens to vote in municipal elections. They're not voting for senators. They're not voting even for governors. They're certainly not voting for president. This isn't a statewide or a federal election.
Right,
this is
right.
For local school board. This is literally the dog catcher elections that people use as throwaway lines in their political conversations.
And Craig, this runs back to the FEC is the Federal Elections Commission. They are for federal elections. They're not for these local elections. If the community itself decides that it wants to change how they do that, they have the wherewithal to do that, as long as it's lawful.
And lots of communities around the country are beginning to do that, and College Park, Maryland, is not the first. It's the third or fourth community in Maryland that has extended municipal voting privileges to non-citizens. But this is something that we see all around the country, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. Non-citizens are barred from voting in federal elections, and if you do get caught voting when you're barred from voting, the fine is, I believe, $25,000 plus a multi-year prison sentence, so it's definitely not worth voting fraudulently in a federal election because you're going to go to jail. You're going to go to real jail for casting one out of, 100 million votes. But at the local level, your participation matters. You're already contributing to your community. You're paying local taxes. You're paying property taxes. You're buying goods at the grocery store. In some cases, you're running businesses that are staples of local communities. So allowing people to vote in the community where they live shouldn't be controversial at all.
Even more than that, the local community has the right to make that decision for themselves.
Yeah.
It is, we are not or should not be permitted to come carpetbagging in and tell a community what they can and cannot do as long as that is legal, it is lawful, ethical, and moral. And it meets those definitions. My God, and there's a world of difference. There is a world of difference between this and knowingly, willingly, and affirmatively, proactively accepting campaign contributions that you know you're not allowed to accept.
Yeah, it seems like we're several degrees of magnitude removed from, orchestrating a conspiracy to circumvent federal campaign finance laws. But the real complaint that you hear from conservatives like Dinesh D'Souza and from the Fox News hosts is that because your College Park, Maryland is allowing this voting by non-citizens, that could become available to members of the community who are also here undocumented and who haven't gone through the proper legal verification channels to vote. But while it's true that in a place like College Park, Maryland, there are probably some undocumented immigrants who might participate in a municipal election now, there are also plenty of documented immigrants, people who are there on green cards, people who are there on student visas, and now they get an opportunity to participate in their local democracy. And maybe that participation is going to encourage people to go through the naturalization process and go through the proper channels and help, make America a better place tomorrow than it is today. Like, this is the whole point of these community engagement initiatives. It's to get people more involved in local politics. That's a good thing. And the idea that the states' rights party, the idea that these Republicans and conservatives who claim that they want to get national level noses out of local business, the idea that they would be complaining about this when this is, federalism at work, this is local politics being local, it's absurd that this is even a topic of discussion.
Right.
But since it's easy for Fox to fearmonger,
especially when some of our friends on the right are saying these same people, these same either documented or undocumented individuals here in the United States, still have a constitutional right under the Second Amendment to bear arms.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
They're saying they can bear arms. Now, okay. If they can, now what about the first You know, I mean, really.
Yeah, I mean, these aren't people who are saying that undocumented immigrants don't have a right to peaceably assemble. They're not saying that undocumented immigrants don't have a right to bear arms. They certainly want to get rid of all back checks and authentication processes for buying guns. Specifically, the NRA has fought to make sure that individuals who are on terror watch lists and to make sure that individuals who are here without proper legal justification, the NRA has fought so that those people can buy guns. But by God, if they try to vote in a local election for their dog catcher or for their school board, Fox is going to come after them. And it just shows the level of hypocrisy and the level of misplaced priorities that's apparent in right-wing media and the political and media circles that, you know, exist in this kind of symbiotic relationship with one another.
There you go. Craig, how do we find out more about you and what you do for Media Matters?
Well, of course, you can check out Media Matters for America online at mediamatters.org, where we are updating more or less 24/7, correcting conservative misinformation when it pops up from mainstream and conservative outlets alike. If you're interested in any of our individual researchers or the topic areas that we cover, you can follow most of us on Twitter as well.
Absolutely. Brother, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Keep up the great work, and we will talk to you again soon. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Laborers Talk Radio.